Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami! Good afternoon, Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Wednesday, August 1st, and we got a great show for you today. Later on in the podcast, I will be joined by Miami Dolphins reporter for USA Today, Antoine Staley, as we break down the first week of Miami Dolphins training camp. And as I've said on the show in the past, Antoine has agreed to do a weekly spot right here on our podcast at DolphinsTalk.com. So we will be talking to Antoine this week and every week all throughout the 2018 season, as he will join us each and every week to share his thoughts. And on today's show, we sort of pick his brain and get his thoughts and opinions on the first week of Miami Dolphins practice. So that'll be later on in the podcast. But first, we sort of got to recap what took place today in practice for the Miami Dolphins. But before I get to that, there's sort of a fun story I want to talk about that was in the Miami Herald, written by Adam Beasley. For those of you who are fans of the show Shark Tank, you're really going to enjoy next season, because a Miami Dolphins front office executive has joined the show Shark Tank and will be a guest shark on a few episodes. Matt Higgins, who is 43 years old and works in the front office for the Miami Dolphins, will be on the show Shark Tank this upcoming fall season. For those of you who don't know what the show is, it's where a bunch of really rich guys who have made a whole lot of money in various fields of business sort of sit on a panel of five, and, you know, small business owners or people who are just starting off with a product or small business sort of pitch them their ideas and their business, and the sharks, as they're called, will either, you know, invest in them or not. And if you haven't seen the show, CNBC runs reruns of the old shows every night, 7 days a week. You can't miss it. CNBC has it on all the time, so you can catch it there. But it's kind of cool that Matt Higgins, a front office executive with the Miami Dolphins, like I said, 43 years old, he has an investment type of business where he does stuff like this called RSE Ventures. So he will be part of Shark Tank this upcoming season. He has already taped his episodes. No word on how many episodes. He won't be on every week. It sounds like he only did a few shots. But it'll be fun to watch and see a front office executive for the Miami Dolphins be on the show Shark Tank. I love it. I can't get enough of the show. I think it's hilarious. And you can also learn a few things, too, about business as well. It's a great show. So there might be a reason to watch if you're a Miami Dolphins fan and never really caught the show before. So check that out this fall. Now let's get back to the Miami Dolphins practice today. On Wednesday, they weren't in full pads. They were just wearing their shoulder pads and what they call their uppers. So no full pads today. And let's start off with the injuries like we always do. Jake Brendel still sat out with the right calf injury. AJ Derby sat out as well with the foot injury. Those two did not participate. Isaiah Ford, who got a little dinged up late last week, but had still been participating in practice just with the red jersey, which says he can't be touched or hit. He sat out today's practice, so he did not participate today. He got an off day, and it was also reported that he does have a shoulder injury, so it might have just been a day of rest. Just sort of give him a breather, let the shoulder rest up. But he did not participate in practice today. And I guess the other bit of injury news would be Juwan James. He sort of dressed and did some of the stretching and exercising stuff, but he did not participate in team drills today. Juwan James was on the sidelines for team drills. Sam Young took a spot on the offensive line. Speaking of the offensive line, today they had a pretty good day, actually, and they didn't look overmatched. They sort of held their own. So that's a good sign, because, you know, look, it's still, now it's August 1st. It's so early, and you can't draw conclusions from 1 week of practice. But the first week of practice, the offensive line, you know, they had their lunch handed to them. They did not play well. So it's a good sign that today the offensive line did play a little better. Now, at the end of practice, Ryan Tannehill did take a hit, which not quite sure how that happened, but Cam Wake did hit him, and he hit him pretty good. Knocked him to the ground, and center Daniel Kilgore fell on him as well. Tannehill was down for a bit. He did get up. I guess after practice, head coach Adam Gase said he got some cleats to his shin, but he's fine, Tannehill. Nothing to worry about. Nobody panic. But he did take a lick today in practice, which is never good. But he did get up and seems to be okay. And when he did take that hit, he did throw a red zone interception. The pass was intercepted by Kiko Alonso. So that's that. Other news, like out of all the practices so far the past week, this one's probably the least newsworthy. There's not a lot to talk about, really. Rookie Jason Sanders, he had a very good day kicking, 6 for 7 on field goal attempts with a long of 42. A little bounce back day for him, as the last time he was out there, he did miss two short chip shot field goals of 33 and 36 yards. So a good day for Jason Sanders today. And honestly, I'd be stunned if he's not the opening day place kicker for the Miami Dolphins. They invested a 7th-round pick in him. Unless he totally falls apart in the preseason games or here in practice. And I mean totally falls apart. I just don't see how they don't go with him. But we'll see how that plays out for sure. There was another article in the Miami Herald everyone should check out by Armando Salguero, talking about the battle to see who will start opposite Xavien Howard at cornerback. And in Armando's opinion, he says right now he believes Cordrea Tankersley is in the lead and has a slight edge in that battle. And honestly, I kind of hope he wins that job myself, and here's why. When you draw up your prototypical cornerback and what you want from someone in that position, you're pretty much drawing a picture of Cordrea Tankersley. He's got great speed. He's got great size. His arms are long as hell, great length. And he sort of has experience at that position, playing at a high level there in college at Clemson. And he was very good as a rookie last year for sort of being thrown into the fire. Tankersley has it all. It's just about him continuing to improve and sort of get more reps on the field as an NFL player. So in my opinion, I really hope Tankersley wins that job. And in the eyes right now of Armando Salguero, per his article, which once again everyone should go check out, he believes Tankersley has the lead sort of in that competition to be the guy who starts opposite Xavien Howard. Once again, we're going to see how it plays out. Lippitt has just as good a chance to win that job, as does Torrey McTyre. Last thing I'll talk about before we get to Antoine is the tight ends. And once again today, the first string tight ends, that job is sort of being split between Mike Gesicki and Marquise Gray. One of those two guys is going to start, that's clear. Which one, I don't know. I know AJ Derby is a favorite of some of the Miami Dolphins staff and the coaches. I'm not sure, though, he's really starting material. I think it'll either be Marquise Gray or Mike Gesicki come week one. And those guys are probably going to share and split, all depending on the plays and the package and the score of the game, where they are. So I would expect to see a lot of Marquise Gray and a lot of Mike Gesicki as them being on the field as the starting tight ends as we sort of are now 1 month away here from the season. So, look, if Gesicki can sort of improve his blocking, I think Miami would love nothing more than to have him on the field the majority of the time. But until he gets his blocking up to an adequate level, guys like Marquise Gray and A.J. Derby are going to be on the field more, and they're going to sort of take time away from Gesicki just because Miami needs to have viable blockers out there, especially in the running game. And I'm not even talking about Smythe either, but I think there's going to be a rotation there for sure. But it seems like the guys who will get the most work and probably the most work with the starters come September will be Gesicki and Marquise Gray. So everyone sit tight, and we're going to take a quick break. And when I come back from the break, I will be joined by Antoine Staley from USA Today, talking about the first week of Miami Dolphins practice and sort of get his thoughts and opinions on what he's seen now after 6 practices in camp. So we'll be back right after this.
Sinbad Sports is the number one sports memorabilia company in South Florida and the number one place to go get your Miami Dolphins memorabilia. Sinbad Sports has the likes of Rashad Jones, Cam Wake, Kiko Alonso, and Frank Gore in for autograph signings within the past year alone. So when in South Florida area, visit Sinbad Sports at 1976 South University Drive, Davie, Florida. Tell them DolphinsTalk.com sent you.
Joining me on the DolphinsTalk.com hotline is Antoine Staley from USA Today. Antoine, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. So the Miami Dolphins have been about 1 week into training camp now. So let's talk about some of the, I guess you would call the hot topics in this first week. Let's start off with the quarterback spot. In your opinion, how has Ryan Tannehill looked? Does the knee look like it's strong? How does he look out there?
Physically, he looks fine. He's moving around, running some read option. Looks pretty mobile. So, yeah, I think on that front, he definitely looks like he's good to go. I don't think it's going to be any setback. Hopefully, it's not like last year when he ended up re-injuring that ACL, completely tearing it, as everybody knows. But, yeah, so far, so good. He does look physically strong. We'll see how things hold up once the games get started. He actually took a little bit of a stumble today. During practice, Cameron Wake didn't mean to hit him, but it just kind of knocked him over, and he got up a little slowly, but you know, it's going to happen at some point. He's going to get hit, so I guess it's good to get it out the way now.
Absolutely, he will get hit eventually, so might as well get the first one out of the way from someone you love at least, and not from someone else who'll be coming at you full speed ahead, I guess. Now behind him, it sort of sounds like the first week hasn't been great for guys like Osweiler, Fales, and Bryce Petty. Has any one of those three really done anything to sort of separate themselves from the rest, or is it still a little too early for that?
I don't think it's too early for that, but it's just that nobody's done anything. None of the quarterbacks have looked any impressive. So I don't know who they're going to take right now because none of the guys necessarily look good. I guess we just have to wait and see once the preseason gets started. But the thing we do know, and I also alluded to this many times, and I think a lot of people also knew this coming in, that Tannehill can't get hurt. If he gets hurt this year,
they're done.
And they're just gonna, And I think this year they're more willing to say, you know what, we're just gonna stick with the people that we have and just get a top five draft pick. That's probably what they should have done last year, instead of Jay Cutler, the $10 million to come aboard, but. You know, and it's nothing you can do about it right now.
No, absolutely not. And Tom, there with you. If something were to happen to him, they're just so done. I mean, I think they, you said a top five pick. I think it might be top three, honestly, because I can't see them beating anybody with any of those guys they have behind Ryan Tannehill. It is that bad. And look, they sort of set it up this way in the offseason. That is the one thing I question why they didn't, after they were burned last year, why they didn't invest a little bit more into the number two quarterback spot. They have a lot of faith in Ryan Tannehill. I guess it's the only thing that makes any sense. They must have a lot of faith in him because it just didn't make any sense, really.
Yeah, I agree. I think, I know they like Ryan Tannehill. But, yeah, I probably would have went with somebody young because you know what those guys are. You know what Fells is or isn't. You definitely know what Osweiler has done the past few years.
Yep.
I mean, you wasn't going to bring back Matt Moore. You wanted to get younger at the position. Then why not just bring in somebody, even if it's like in the sixth round, just bring somebody to groom and just behind Ryan Tannehill for you. I think that would give a little bit more energy to the fan base. You take somebody in the sixth round, you're not expecting them to start right away.
Exactly.
So
you got a little hope.
So far away. Exactly.
Yeah.
So you can develop them, and hopefully they can be a solid backup.
Yeah, so hopefully everything's okay with Ryan Tannehill. Talking about the people in front of him. Now, I know today Josh Sitton, he sat out, I believe, and Juwan James has like a real minor injury. Is there anything there to be concerned about, or are they just being extra precautious at this stage in the game?
Well, Sitton sat out on Monday when they put on pads. He didn't practice today. Juwan James did not practice, or did not participate in any drills, I should say, because he ended up have a little bit of an injury. They were doing, they were trying to be precautionary by it, so they didn't want to do anything to kind of flare that up any longer. But it doesn't sound like it's too serious.
Yeah,
but
so they're just being extra safe right now.
Yeah, yeah. As far as the offensive line, that play, it's been up and down. Today they had a much better day. But on Monday, they just kind of got the lunch handed to them a little bit. And that's happened a lot throughout camp. I don't know if it's because the Dolphins' defensive line has improved that much, or it's just because – or is it cause concern for the offensive line? I guess it's one of those things where we're just going to have to wait until the games get started to find out.
Yep, absolutely. I said that the other day. It all depends on your perspective on things. It means we got a great line on defense maybe, or it means the offensive line's not good, or, you know, it all depends how you look at it, because you can spin that either way. Hopefully, look, this offensive line, they're bringing back three guys from last year. I don't think it's going to be worlds better than last year, but the guys, obviously, Sitton's key, because Sitton's the key guy. He's the big splash signing, I guess you would say, for that unit, and he's going to make that unit, or he's not going to make it great, I think, because he's the guy who really wasn't there last year. Center, you know, it's probably a bit of a wash with Mike Pouncey at this point. So I think Sitton's the key guy there on that unit, and he's either going to raise everyone's game or it's going to be much the same that it was last year, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that. He is that factor. He is the guy that you felt like he improved their interior line. I will say this about their offensive line this year. At least they have some kind of depth there.
True.
The guys may not be great, but they're guys that you can plug in there just in case of because you know injuries are going to happen. So they're guys that you can come in like a Ted Larson, like a Sam Young can come in there and play and get meaningful snaps. So, yeah, I do like that. Because you know injuries are going to occur at some point through the year. It's just a matter of when.
Yep, absolutely. Now, a wide receiver, obviously the name that's getting talked about a lot has been Isaiah Ford. You've been there every day of practice. Is he for real? Is this not a sort of fluke, hot week thing? Or is he still someone who you think he'll make the roster, but don't expect him to see him on the field a lot when the games start for real?
Well, I thought he was doing some good things in the spring. I know they didn't have pads on, but he's making some fun catches then. I think it's for real. The offense liked him coming out last year. They felt he was a steal. They were surprised that he lasted on the board as long as he did. That 40 time knocked him down all the way down to the seventh round. But it's somebody that has a lot of talent. He was very skilled at Virginia Tech. I thought as far as talent-wise, he's maybe like a third or fourth round pick, and you get him in the seventh round, that's definitely a steal. So I don't know how much he's going to play considering how many I think he's going to make the roster, but
yep.
He's going to be the sixth wide receiver. I don't know how much he's going to play because you have so many people in front of him. But
a lot of guys in front of him.
He's going to make the roster. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys in front of him. And speaking about one of those guys, I guess we should talk about Amendola because it seems like he's the new favorite target for Ryan Tannehill. How has he looked? Obviously, look, he's not Landry, and if people expect him to sort of step into that role and be Landry and catch 100-plus balls, I think they're going to be a little disappointed. He's not that, but he can be a very productive wide receiver, and it seems like he's really sort of gelled so far with Ryan Tannehill. What do you think so far about him?
Yeah, I mean, I think they've gained some kind of natural chemistry with each other. It's definitely one of his reliable targets throughout practice. So they just definitely they're hooking up a lot of different times. He's doing everything he's been asked to, and we expect him to do, especially coming from the Patriots. As far as him, his production, and I know ESPN today said Amendola was going to lead him in receptions. The only reason I don't think that's going to be the case is because he's very injury prone.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really been a thing. He's only played 16 games in the season twice. And the last time coming in 2014. So you look at the odds and the scenario is he's probably going to miss some games. It's going to be some kind of injury because he's a small guy. It's just a matter of you just hope it's not for a substantial period of time. Maybe it's just for a game or so. But no, I don't think he's going to – I think he would lead the team in receptions possibly if he could stay healthy. But the chances of that happening doesn't seem like it's going to be too good.
I agree, and that's why they have to be smart with him and not – have him on the field too much. And because he is that type of guy who does get hurt quite often. And they have to be smart about him, because if they do try to use him like Landry, he won't hold up. That's why I say he's not Landry. And I think some people, some fans in particular really think, you know, put him in that role, boom, we're good to go. No, he's not that guy. And I hope they're smart with him. They don't use him too much, because there are a lot of wide receivers that seem like about. We have guys like Ford. We have guys like Grant, who's having a strong week so far. We have Wilson, of course, Stills, Parker, obviously. A lot of wide receivers. I hope they're smart with Amendola. And they sort of use him when they should, but just don't have him out there as a full-time guy, because he will break down quickly too.
Yeah, he's just not a physical guy like Jarvis Landry is.
Yep.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but yeah, Jarvis was a much more physical receiver. So yeah, he doesn't do the same things that Jarvis Landry did. But yeah, that's why you go out and get not only you'll get Amendola, you go get an Albert Wilson just so for that depth purposes.
Yep, absolutely. Let's switch over to the other side of the ball at defensive tackle. The thing I've been saying on the show a lot is that's the one area on that side of the ball that really has me a little nervous and what they will do there, because they got some guys for a rotation. I'm just not sold on any of them being, you know, great, honestly. So far, who's been starting? It's been Spence next to Phillips, right?
Phillips, yes.
How have they looked? I know it's tough when they're not in pads, but it's tough sometimes when they're not in pads, I know.
I mean, they've been okay. I mean, they hadn't done anything that's been spectacular. I think we've seen more of the spectacular plays coming from the DNs, Quinn and Wake. But, I mean, they've just been there. I know the Dolphins at defensive tackle. I know Vincent Taylor is showing a little bit of improvement. I'm sure he'll be a good bench rotational player for him. And, of course, you got Gotcha this as well. I'm curious to see how George Phillips plays in a contract year. That's kind of very
I think he'll play out of his mind. Yeah, I think he'll play great. And I hope Miami is smart enough not to offer him anything in season. Hope they wait till after the season. And I'd be very careful with him because he scares me a little bit, because I think he will play out of his mind this year and play great. But I don't know if he's that type of guy who will do it every year. I just don't know, because we haven't really seen consistency from him yet since he's been in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing about him in college. I mean, that's the reason he slipped down to the second round. It wasn't from a talent standpoint. It's because he took plays off and people feel like he didn't play up to his potential. And that was the knock on him in college. It's still the knock on him today in the NFL. Yeah. So, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if he was to play really, really well. Or at least I think his play is going to improve. I don't know how great he's going to be, but I definitely think he's going to have a marked improvement this upcoming year, just simply because he's trying to get paid.
I'm with you. I'm right there with you. I totally agree. Now, the cornerback spot has also been something where there's a little bit of a hot battle there to see who will start opposite Xavien Howard. And I guess the name that sort of came out of nowhere would be Torrey McTyer. And do you think he's got a viable chance to sort of win that job? Or are they sort of throwing him in the mix there to maybe put a little pressure on guys like Lippitt and Tankersley? What are your thoughts so far on Torrey McTyer?
Yeah, I don't think anybody has a stranglehold on the position. So, yeah, he has an opportunity. They think he's done a good job. I know Matt Burke is really likes him. So they're going to give him an opportunity to try to win the starting job along with Tankersley, along with Lippitt. Right now, I would say Tankersley is in the lead of that race, but it's not so far ahead of Lippitt and McTyer. But yeah, he definitely has an opportunity to win it. It's really going to go down to the preseason games, who performs better, and I think the winner of that will definitely end up being the starter. But yeah, he definitely has a legit shot, because nobody has really taken the bull by the horns there.
Yep, absolutely. And as we wrap this up, let's close out talking about the rookies. Obviously, the names that the people are really talking about are Jasicki and Minka Fitzpatrick. Jasicki, we've seen some reports. Look, we all know he needs to work on his blocking. It's not even worth talking about this point. Everyone knows it. It's whatever. It is what it is. But as a receiver, and has he looked as good as advertised, specifically when they've been in the red zone and such?
Yeah, I mean, he's made some big plays. I know ever since A.J. Derbys went down, they've inserted him. He's gotten more playing time, and he's definitely made some plays in during red zone drills the other day. So they really like him. They really like what he brings to the table. They like him, his athleticism, his ability to go up and get the ball at his highest point, and that's something that the Dolphins have not had at the tight end position for a really long time. So they're definitely excited about that and going forward. So yeah, they Gesicki has the potential to be definitely a good red zone. He may not catch a lot of balls, but he could be a good red zone target for him this particular year.
Absolutely. And Minkah Fitzpatrick, where has he been lining up the majority of time? Has he been lining up at free safety for the most part?
Yeah, it's him and Maurice Smith have been free safety. Yeah, so yeah, they've been the two safeties back there on the second team. He'll occasionally get work in the first team, but for the most part, it's been him and Maurice Smith being on that second team, last line of defense there.
Yep, absolutely. And the one name that we really haven't heard a lot about in the first week is Jerome Baker. So you could read that once again, your perspective on things. That could be very good, meaning he's not making any mistakes. He's out there just picking things up, or it could be bad in that he's really just not making any plays either. It all depends how you look at it, I guess. What have you seen out of him so far? How has he looked? I know it's only 1 week again. What are your thoughts so far on Jerome Baker 1 week in?
Oh, it's still a work in progress.
Work in progress.
He's still battling his way up the depth chart. But, yeah, Stephon Anthony is the guy that's going to be – well, right, at least right now it looks like it's going to be along with Kiko Alonso and Raekwon Miller on the first team. And then you have a lot of other guys there buying for spots with the second team. You got Chase Allen there, who I think has done a really good job. I think, if anything, I think Chase Allen is probably has better chance of winning that starting job opposite McMillan and Kiko Alonso than Baker does at this point. So, he's still learning out there. Yeah, he's still learning a little bit, and it's going to take a little time. I mean, you have to remember he's a third-round pick, and, he's learning. He's getting acclimated. Not all rookies can come in and just produce right away. So it's going to take a little time with Baker.
Yeah, absolutely. It does take a little time with some guys, especially once you start talking about the guys picked around 3, 4, 5 and such. So absolutely. And I know Chase Allen has also had a couple interceptions as well and has made a few plays so far in the first week. So that's a good sign for him. Antoine, thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you again next week and get another update from what's going on in the Miami Dolphins practice. Everyone, be sure to follow Antoine Staley on Twitter at Antoine Staley and check out his work at dolphinswire.usatoday.com. Antoine, we'll talk to you again next week. You have a good one.
All right, Dave. You take it easy.
All right.
DolphinsTalk.com is your one-stop source for anything and everything Miami Dolphins. From the award-winning DolphinsTalk.com podcast to original commentary, breaking news, and interviews with current and former players as well as media types, DolphinsTalk.com keeps you up to date and informed with all the latest happenings taking place in the world of the Miami Dolphins. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at DolphinsTalk and to check us out at DolphinsTalk.com every day for all your Miami Dolphins needs.
Once again, I'd like to thank Antoine Staley from USA Today for joining me on the podcast, and we will talk to him once a week, every week, from now to the end of the 2018 season. Tomorrow's show, I will be joined by a celebrity fan of the Miami Dolphins, so be on the lookout for that. Podcast will drop Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday night, as I will be joined by a celebrity fan of the Miami Dolphins and sort of chat with him on his fandom of the Miami Dolphins and get his thoughts on the upcoming 2018 season, so that'll be a lot of fun. What else? I think that's all. We'll do another. We're going to have shows every day. Every day there's a practice, we'll have a show. So keep coming back to the website, DolphinsTalk.com. As always, follow me on Twitter at DolphinsTalk. We can be found on Instagram at DolphinsTalk. And if you want to send me an email, I can be reached at DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast, whether it's on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, you know all of them. Wherever you listen, be sure to subscribe to it. Leave us a comment. Leave us a rating. Always appreciated. So everyone, enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.